It's my turn. Excited to go. So this is A1?
Yes.
What's your opinion on steak sauce?
Do you know eat people, steak? Occasionally, very rarely. But if it's not like a super expensive steak, I'll fucking slather it in that shit.
I'm a fan of A1 sauce as a thing on its own, to be honest. There's a thing in England called brown sauce, which is effectively a little bit of a tamer A1 sauce.
Gotcha.
Or steak sauce. A1's a typical one. It's a malt brown sauce. It's the same product, assumingly.
And you just like it by itself.
I think it's a worthwhile condiment. I think it's better than pepper. I see the value of A1. I see the value of vinegar as a flavor that goes with a lot of things over the value of pepper. If people don't know, I don't know why pepper is on tables.
Why? Because you can't taste it?
I don't know that many foods that go with slightly dry, burny sensation. Like, do you know what I mean? I know chefs love it. Like, this is where I wish I could talk to. I actually know a few chefs, like real deal chefs, that I could ask them about it. But I don't know if they'd be able to explain it to me, like, in a day. It might be like explaining, you know, it might be like explaining perspective in John Ford shots to somebody that doesn't really, like film that much. It might be like, a bit too simple of an elaborate food thing, but... Pepper is go taste again. It's this thing. It's like go taste pepper right now. Like go and put some just
I
grind
do.
Up some pepper. Put it in your
it
mouth.
Right
like you really?
Yeah, I got pepper on my desk. At all
do you
times.
Actually? Do you actually?
Yeah. You want to hear me shake?
No,
it
you
out?
Don't.
You want to hear me shake it out?
Yes, I do want to hear you shake it.
Right in my mouth. Right in my mouth.
So, but what is that sensation good with? That's what I don't understand about it.
It's awesome on mac and cheese. You want something? You need something to contrast it with. You gotta have something salty. It goes well with cream.
It's not salt. Excuse me.
No,
it's not salt.
It goes well with salt. It goes well with salt. That's why
okay.
They have
it
together.
I don't understand it as a sensation. It's not like I don't understand spicy
when
food.
I
don't understand this
pepper.
Kind of low-level bullshit spice that's like just kind of gross and grainy. Like, not that I don't understand it as a flavor. I don't understand it as one of the most commonplace flavors in America. That's what's weird to me.
Do you suggest a replacement or we just shouldn't have it?
In Asian countries, for example, on the table is usually like a chili flake sauce. That I get. That I understand that. It can be mixed into a lot of things. It's a real spice of a kick. It's got this fattiness to it. I don't know what pepper does for people. I can't imagine that people are actually enjoying pepper on so many things as much as they are just kind of putting it on it.
You know, that is a good point. I've actually found myself unscrewing the top of the pepper shaker to just get more pepper because I'm like, there's not enough. It's not helping. The little bit of pepper shaking, it's not doing anything.
Put it on like fucking eggs. Like,
well, I think pepper on eggs is really good. I think peppers on eggs is really good.
Well, but like,
there's a little bit of smokiness to it, a little bit of the smokiness, a little bit of the spice, and then yes, the dust like texture of it gives a little bit of a crunch if you look for it.
It's like gritty.
Yeah,
it's not very. It doesn't
gritty.
Really have
Stop
flavor.
Saying gritty like a.
It doesn't. It doesn't really have flavor. It doesn't. It's you know what I mean. It doesn't. It's just kind of. It's there. It's like sugar versus honey. You know what I mean? It's like. I understand sugar is required to make certain foods, but sugar on its own, like if it's not in a candy or in something else, like I don't really care.
Oh, I got some sugar.
That's
right
how
here.
I feel
you
about
pepper. Me, you want to hear me dump sugar in my mouth?
No. Why is all this shit at your desk? Bring in the episode.
This is Let's Start a Cult Podcast, Paper Saga A1 Edition, Mike episode, theme song by Freddie Unreal of the Turnbucklers.
Hello, one, hello, all. How are you doing, Deepu?
I'm doing fantastic, man. I'm so pumped for the show today. So pumped for your logical intrusions.
Well, that's a good name if we were to ever rebrand the show. Mike's Logical Intrusion Corner.
Yeah, get out of my
and
face
it's
with
you,
your fucking
and it's a
common
corner,
sense.
And it's a corner, and it's me shooting psionic beams at you in the corner. Welcome to podcast about thoughts we don't think to think about. those types of thoughts that you hung on the wall and somebody came over and said, oh, where did you get that thought? And you say, you know, I don't really remember. I don't really like that thought. I don't know why I hang it in this room. I'm going to take it down and get a new thought. It's those kind of thoughts, the things that we leave sitting around.
Sure. Yeah.
I've had a kind of, I had a bad day yesterday, which I rarely have bad days. It was one of those days where I'm on this show, I'm angry because Deepu's obviously the thoughts he thinks are infuriating and offensive to the idea of anyone who has a brain. But that anger is part of this, is I hate being like an angry person to people that don't need it. And I've been getting into this thing with people on, because that was my whole week, was like customer service people. And I don't want to bog people down and like, I'm not going to complain about customer service. This is because it's a hard job. If you've done it or if you've been on the receiving job of it, it's hard. Mm-hmm. Here's the thing I've been running into with fucking customer service recently that is, speaking of my logical intrusions, is like a fucking trap for me. Is like people will, they're dumb. We're dumb with the interaction. But they'll want to be right about some point about the interaction. And so for Michael, if someone's like, I know I'm right, they just want to end with this thing that they think they're right about. Like, that is just bait for me to be like, well, no, like, this isn't helping my cause at all. But like, you're just wrong. You're just like, I don't have a compulsive need to correct people. I have a impulsive need to correct people who try and correct me. Like, I don't go around if someone's wrong, like this way I treat Deepu. Like, I don't go around and I'm like, oh, you know, like you didn't know this fact. I do it because Deepu pretends he knows his facts, and it's pretty funny to correct him. He thinks he's going to get away with it every week. Every week he's like every a kid time. Stealing from a cookie jar. It's like, you are not stealth. You are a 4-year-old right with the, no, I'm right here. Like you are the clumsiest thing in the house. So,
jar breaks all over the floor, like every time.
Yeah, it's like, well, I mean, I couldn't have had a cookie. The jar's broken. that's Deepu.
But I understand why you're upset because, you know, in customer service, I believe, you know, the customer service representative usually has to come from a place of authority. They always have to have like this hierarchy.
Which I'm fine with. I'm calling the person because I'm stupid, right?
Sure.
Which I've had to explain. I've had a lot of bad instances with customer services once. I one time had to show you how I rarely try and sound smart to other people. I one time got ripped off. Like the company just sold me something that wasn't there. And they admitted that they sold me something that wasn't there. They sold me the service. And they were like, yeah, no, that's not it. We sent you a contract. That's not what we were going to provide. Like, we're sorry. So then I'm there trying to fix this. And I use the word, a word I would not use. I said algebraically. Because I was talking about a deal. I was saying how you could trade in and out the same thing. Like, algebraically, it adds up to the same thing. Like, we're going to ignore these factors because we can put whatever features we want in there. Sure. The woman on the other end of the line, again, it doesn't matter that she was a woman, but I'm telling you, would not admit that she didn't know what algebraically meant and kept talking, and I eventually had to explain what it meant. Now, I explained to her. She's like, do you think I'm stupid? And I was like, no. I'm calling customer service. I'm the one. The conceit of calling customer service is saying, I'm an idiot. You need to help me. So automatically, you are smarter.
That's not the assumption. That's not how.
Of course
that
works. It is.
Well, I wouldn't say like, oh, you're calling them because you're stupid. You're just calling.
You are. You're calling because you're an idiot.
Well, you're calling them because they have a certain information that you don't have.
Exactly. You're an idiot. Obviously, if everyone had, if customer service didn't mean that you were stupid, the user was stupid, then they would say in the instructions, first call customer service, then assemble the table. Do you know what I mean?
Okay.
No, you're an idiot. You're conceding that you're an idiot.
All right.
So I was apologizing. I would not have tried to, I don't act this way. But if people try. That's the thing that I get annoyed about. It's not like someone having authority over me. I want them to have authority over me. I want them calling in this, you know, lower subservient position. I want them to tell me what to do and to help, you know. But it's this thing where if somebody tries to correct me, like, you have to know you're going to get corrections back, you know?
Well, dealing with you, I mean, hell yeah.
Well, no, I'm not that way. I'm not that this bits we do on the show. I'm not that way where somebody's like, a lot of times actually in person with people, I much more am having the inner laughing that our audience gets over you trying to explain stuff to me. Like, I will simply let someone fall on their sword in real life. Like, if they talk to me, I will just have them explain. I'll ask all these questions, like, you know, have them explain it to me over and ask lots of, oh, and so what does that mean? And have them explain it to me wrong for like an hour. That for me is fun, because if someone's so convinced they're right about something, it's fun for me to, you're allowed to just be an audience member.
That does sound fun. I just tend to just believe everything they say and just like trust them wholeheartedly.
Yeah, no, that's your thing. Well, I think
a lot of people do that actually.
I think one of my superpowers is, and I really hate to even hesitate to say this, is, you know, I know when people are lying, and it's not as though I'm so clever, but simply that I do ask a lot of questions. Like, so it a lie becomes really relevant. I mean, really evident. When, like, you just ask someone, like, the next logical question. I guess, here's what it is. If you ask, if you tell any lie, it's not hard to know if the person is lying, especially if there's low stakes, which is mostly what it is in my life. Like, it's never, I have never or will never investigate a murder or a crime of any sort.
Sure.
But, like, but minor crimes I'm passionate about. So, like, if you were to try to tell any lie, like, it's just so easy if you just don't accept it to see, like, oh, this is definitely, like, a lie. Like, just tell any lie.
Right now?
Later. Whenever. I mean, it's not like the listeners don't have time.
I have two dicks.
Take it. What? Take your time. 2 minutes from 2 minutes from now, tell a lie. Okay. Tell a lie. No.
Every Monday, I buy flowers for every woman on my block.
Right. Obviously, you know. I was like, how do you get these flowers to them?
I walk around with a bouquet and I chuck one flower onto every doorstep. And I say, I'm here.
That's the most believable lie you've ever told on the show. That is so doable.
Yeah, and it kind of suits my personality.
I mean, and then of course, the other part of lying is someone knowing information. Like, how much does a bouquet of flowers cost?
Ooh, $80 easily. Am I close?
You know what's fun about that lie? That one I like, because if I were to say to you, Deepu, go find me an $80 bouquet of flowers, I think you would. It's actually the other way. Like, a lot of times people are like, oh, how do you have $80? It's more like, no. Go out and find me a place that will charge you $80. I don't think you could find a place that charges you $80 for a bouquet.
I mean, if you get them delivered from Kansas.
I think I have a problem in life where people don't want to be honest. I think that's like a big thing with me. We did that whole thing of like, is it okay to lie? Like, I just genuinely don't understand why you wouldn't just tell someone, why you wouldn't just be forthright with them and tell them like what you're thinking. Like, I just, is that weird of me? Like,
yeah, it is.
I genuinely
weird.
Your
requirement of openness from people can be odd. I can see from a personal stance. Yes.
But I don't get why you would. I just don't get it. Why wouldn't you tell people exactly what's going on? It's not like it makes your life easier to lie.
It doesn't. It makes things very confusing. In fact, I have to just I've defaulted to just forgetting everything so that I don't have to be accountable.
Plausible deniability.
Exactly.
He genuinely was too stupid to remember. This is not a lie. He's just that fucking dumb. Mm-hmm. He did not remember what the fuck you said to him. You know, and like, that's one that I think has made my life so much. I think I started doing it. This shows that I'm not like so young, that I'm not some sort of deity that sprang from a lotus leaf and said, yea, is I, Michael, the one-year-old, come unto me with my wisdom. Like, I think when I was around 19, I started telling people when I couldn't hear them. And not because I have hearing problems, but because I was like, I just make people repeat stuff. So I make people repeat stuff a lot. Like, it's not a scene in a movie. We don't always have to know the line after each other. So, like, when I talk to people, I am, you know...
Is that like a test? Like a lie detection test? Like, oh, repeat
that? No, it has nothing to do with lie. It's my own lying. Is that, like, if I don't hear or understand someone, I will ask them to repeat it or say it a different way. Or if I don't know what a word means, like, I'll ask them. Like, I do that constantly. Like, that's a lie to yourself. Like, I don't understand. There are people who, like, do that and they're like, oh, I was so embarrassed to ask what they said. It's like, why? What are you? It's not a movie. You don't have a script. Admission. You're not a psychic.
Yeah, well, people who
do. You not do this?
People who. No, I usually just pretend I know what I'm hearing about, usually.
Why?
Maybe, I mean, there are. Obviously, there's exceptions, but. I don't know. I will say this. I do lie sometimes to just simplify interactions, you know, to not.
Why?
Because people don't need to hear. People don't need to hear. Not with you, but.
No, but but why? How does it make things simpler for anyone involved?
You just can't.
It's a fake version of reality.
Fake version reality. I'm trying to get a certain piece of information, let's say, and then, you know, I just need a simple.
This is your spying days.
Yes. Well, oh, are
you allowed to talk about this in your governmental way?
There's already a guy pointing a gun at me. I'm already on the edge.
So. You're a bad spy.
I'm very bad.
Like getting information, getting information out of people. Well, but I think genuine, like, honesty usually works. Like, sometimes people will omit information from you simply because they don't know you want it. You know? And so they don't know that they're omitting it from you. That's found true. That too, which is another reason for honesty.
So what you want, just full forthrightness at all times?
Yeah, I don't actually think it's that ridiculous to ask for. It's what I do, and most of the time things go well.
Well, I would love to talk about this more, but that would involve divulging details about my personal life.
Okay, so you don't. Yeah, we don't have to say, like, oh, wait, Deepu, when did you lie, or when don't you lie? Yeah, neither of us are going to do this. But, like, I'm still curious about your interactions with people when you're like, you don't understand what they're saying. So if you don't understand what someone's saying, you don't say, excuse me, I don't know what that word you just said meant.
Yeah. In a group situation, that's kind of embarrassing. Maybe,
why? What's more embarrassing?
You're admitting to even more people, like, oh, I don't know what the fuck, or I'm even more out of the loop. You know, especially in social situations, it's all about proving that you're a part of the group. You know, proving that you can be in. And
that's
then,
a bullshit thing. Who cares?
Well, I mean, I'm just talking about, you know, instincts. You know, my primitive dumbass instincts. I just want to pretend like I'm part of it, so I'm not going to...
I would not call them... I said they were bullshit. I would not call them stupid. This is the one instance in which you very much can believe it, because I'm... Not just because I'm honest, but because I do tell you when you're being a fucking moron, I don't think that's stupid. I think that's peer pressure, which goes right to the core of groupthink.
Sure, yeah.
Which is that everybody else is telling you, like, oh, we all understand this. You don't? How could you not? We all do.
And I've seen that a lot lately. Everyone just kind of says, they pretend they agree or they pretend they understand, and then the problem kind of snowballs because everyone's pretending they understand something, and when in fact nobody does.
Well, like, I think this is getting into such, like, vagaries at this point.
Yeah,
like,
we haven't had one example.
You know, it's like when people do things and things do people. Like, I'll give you an example. There's a lot of times on the internet that I don't engage in art criticism. Like, I've been on a few art criticism shows. You know, we were on Video Game Outsiders and things like that. And,
sure, yeah.
You know, we have our people we like that do this. But for the most part, this shows how much we like the people we interact with. For the most part, I hate engaging in somebody else's opinions on certain things. Because, you know, okay, do we have to list all of our friends, like Jabber in the Drone, Listening Party Podcast, Nerds Without Pants? Like, these are all of friends of the show that do criticism things that we engage with. And speaking to their, like... Not even intelligence or good taste, because I don't want to make it that. Bearability. Like, I cannot bear this people's opinion on the internet. Like, a phenomena I've come across is that, like, a lot of... Here's a classic piece of groupthink. Whatever it is, a piece of art, a piece of music, an event, a speech, something like that. There are lots of stupid people in the world. I've been doing research on this since I was a boy. Most of the world is stupid, not you. We've got you all here. You're the not stupid people. As a testament to that, by the way, we could make this show easier and stupider. We don't. So that more people would get it. We don't do it. But onto that same point is, like, sometimes the whole internet, it seems like, is saying this thing is genius. But the trap is that What is actually happening is that lots of stupid people finally have fully understood either a sentence or an action or a tweet or a piece of art or something. They fully understand it. So they've called it genius because they're so fucking stupid that every other thing that was actually genius and a little bit more difficult to grasp, they didn't understand, so they dismissed it. But this thing, which has the perfect mix of all the things they are capable of understanding, yet is stupid enough for them to understand all of them and not pushing themselves to learn more, they will then call genius. And it's this thing where, onto the point where you're saying, like, you want to feel a part of the group, is that I think there's opinions that people have that are unapproachable. They are unapproachable. One that I've said for years is the belief in psychics, ghosts, and UFOs. Those people are unapproachable to talk to about their belief in that. And it's this thing where I think a lot of people are afraid to ask you about your opinions on those things because there's a group of people that sort of love these things and agree that they exist. And to ask people about them is scary. I think because I don't want people to think that, like, I'm this brave social warrior that every time someone says a word, I go, I don't understand that. I admit it. Like, I don't want you to – sometimes it makes it seem like we're Gallon and Goofith between you and me, Deepu, and I don't want people to think that. Mm-hmm. Like, I am that same way with people who believe – especially in ghosts. I am afraid to approach those people because they're so set in their ways, and I'm just – I don't think it's revealing too much about myself to believe there's no such thing as ghosts. But it is, you see the climate that we live in with that opinion where that's kind of is in a lot of circles, like a scandalous thing to say.
Yeah, because it's technically a belief system. It's technically
right, but it's not.
Believe.
It's not. I respect all religions. That's like a thing with me, mm-hmm. is that I genuinely, if you believe something religiously, won't question it. Ghosts, not a religious thing.
Kind of a religious thing. A religion could just talk about ghosts, you know.
But but that's not what people believe in when they believe in ghosts, is it? That's not what they believe in. No one ever says, well, the Holy Ghost I believe in, and I believe in. I think Jesus resurrects some ghosts, and I think that, like, Shinto has a lot of ghosts. They never believe in that. Never what people are saying. They're always like, my vase in my house moved. Oh, it's got to be an even stupider voice, because my carpet started oozing. After I spilled Gatorade on it, it started oozing Gatorade from the bottom of the carpet. There are ghosts afoot.
Yes, those people are completely unapproachable.
That's not religion. Yeah. It's not religion. I will respect your religion. I will respect your belief system. But it's this thing where I'm afraid, like, even putting this out on an episode, I'm afraid that someone believes in ghosts. And I don't think it's not even speaking to their belief system. It's not making fun of your belief. It's speaking to the way that people, like you said, with these social situations where you're, like, afraid to ask the meaning of a word or pretending you know everything. It's the way they set up their belief in ghosts. It's not, oh, I'm willing to let you believe, like, oh, there's an afterlife and these spirits are still around and I hope scientifically we prove one day there are ghosts. Fine. That's never what it is. That's rarely what it is. What it usually is like, look, this is a ghost. Unapproachable. How do I talk to that person? I'd rather lie by omission and just not talk to them about it and let it just, like an ethereal being, let their opinion just float and hope that it does not terrorize me.
I hope you see a ghost one day and you just regret all these interactions.
Here's the thing.
Mean treatment.
Here's the thing.
Ghost believers.
Here's the thing. Here's why I'm not afraid of ghosts. There's no such thing as ghosts. Okay? So that's my belief system, mm-hmm. is that there's obviously no such thing as ghosts. Now, that opinion, I don't think being so obstinately against the idea of random ghosts in my house, I don't think that to be a ridiculous opinion. And I think it's odd that these people, especially not even just with the internet, like, I don't want to blame it on the modern age. I now get to meet more people who believe in ghosts because of the internet. That's certainly true. But it's the way you meet them in person, too. We have a new sponsor for the show that you'll hear a lot of. Why will you hear a lot of them? It's The Kicker Blog. TheKickerBlog.wordpress.com is a great blog. How do I know they're great? I actually do vlogs for them. It's a really great site. They're a part of another company that
does, you know, aftermarket inspections on cars. But the blog itself is really great. It's all about a world in which car shoppers find the best vehicle for their money without any hassle. What do I do for it? I do articles about car accessories. I do some really fun stuff. I talk about how I hate suction cups. It's the same show. It's just as funny, but at thekickerblog.wordpress.com. Go check it out. It's a great website.
Is they believe in ghosts, and it's unapproachable because you can't say, no, that's fucking nonsense.
And you're kind of, because it inclined, is fucking nonsense. You have to like politely just kind of let them tell their story about ghosts too. Like, oh, I felt my aunt there. She was there. She was moving my clock hands. Yeah.
Makes it even more inapproachable when it's about, you know, ghosts. And there's people that I've spoken to about ghosts in the afterlife. And you can, if you're polite about it, you can say, well, do you think it really happened? Or do you think it was a symbolic thing in your mind? And most normal people will say, oh, blah, 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 blah. It's not really interesting. But there's this thing where we live in a world in which telling someone, and we've lived in this world for a while, I don't want to, again, it's not modern, where, like, you can't tell people that's fucking nonsense that you believe in ghosts. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
What? How do you deal with that even? And it is that thing of lying and asking questions, because I think also people, you know, we had the great Darlene Keller on to talk about Devil's Advocate. I think there's genuinely a type of person who thinks that if you question them on what they said, that it somehow makes them lesser.
If you question, who's the lesser, the questioner or the questionee?
The questionee, the person who's been asked a question. I think
they get defensive, right? And if they can't defend it, then they feel inadequate.
Yeah. Which is, I think that's, me and you have complained about bad conversation before. It's like, that's bad conversation. Is if you're not willing to, this is just like quoting us at this point, but like, I don't talk about my belief. We've alluded to some of these rules that we have on the show, these secret rules we have to make the podcast. And one of them that is just coincidence is we don't really talk that much about genuine beliefs on the show, because I'm not going to change any genuine beliefs I have if Deepu says something. You know what? That's not true. Off the air, I might approach Deepu for a thought of and a belief I have. But on the air, that's not interesting to do something like that. And it's very rare that I would change something that I would say to someone in which I'm not flexible on. Pepper? Walking? Steak sauce? I'm willing to change those opinions tomorrow. Like, I don't give a fucking shit. That's what makes for a good conversation, is you should be keeping these things that are very, as long as no one's getting hurt, you should be keeping these personal beliefs to yourself. Because what's the point of sharing them with someone if you're not approachable about it at all?
It feels like there's no point. It certainly feels like it.
That, in my opinion, has always been, if you've ever met religious leaders, why the skill that they actually obtain is not as, because like, you can learn a lot about the Bible. I mean, it's a book. Read it a bunch of times. There's lots of shit written on it. You can read, you know, for a couple months and learn everything about the Bible or the Quran. Like, you can do that. That's not a hard skill to get. I think the skill that religious leaders get, good ones, when you meet them, is they are willing to hear all your complaints about their religion, and they don't blink. Like, good religious leaders, when you bring something up about it, they're like, okay, yeah, well, this, and this is the, like, they understand their job is in questioning. Their job is in, like, handling people's questions. And I think most people don't see, that's why I like talking to, like, really well-trained religious leaders, because it's like, you can just say whatever to them. They're ready for anything.
And they're pretty respectful of other people's beliefs also. So
they wouldn't want to make noise. Yeah. But the point here is that skill, whatever you think about religion and whatever you think about ghosts, that skill is what you're supposed to be aspiring to. Mm. You know, that the idea that you have priest-like approachability when you say things. Otherwise, you probably shouldn't be saying those things out loud. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Why wouldn't you say... Like, if you had a diet problem, if you had an allergy, you wouldn't ask people what they thought about the fact that peanuts make your throat close up and listen to them. You would just say it. You would let people know it's a fact. You wouldn't let them debate it, right?
Mm-hmm.
You would state, and that's how people are stating some of these opinions. It's like, you're stating your belief in ghosts as a food allergy. And if I can't approach you with that, then if you're not gonna, because there's people, I think we on the show make it seem like we're looking out for the people that are sensitive to being offended. But I don't think that's the case at all. I think we're one of the more offensive shows because when people come on, we genuinely ask them to defend themselves. And I think that's offensive in society.
Yeah, we push the buttons.
Well, but it's not pushing buttons. It's being curious about people. It's being fucking interesting. If you just let people say, like, this is my thought and I think it, and if you let it just sit there like it's a sleeping tiger that you can't approach or touch, it's like, well, fuck you. You should have kept it to yourself. How interesting was your... That is what cult leaders do. Like, that's part of the show, is like to disrupt people just thinking the same shit because they think they can't think about it. Like, cult leaders put opinions out there and state it in a way that's like, you know, you can't question it. A lot of times, the big trick with cult leaders is, this is what people with crazy opinions do, is they claim to do it themselves. And so they present this very well put together person and they'll say, you know, I sleep 2 hours a night. You know, don't you want to be as good as me? I sleep 2 hours a night. If you're asking, if you're having trouble sleeping, only sleep 2 hours a night and maybe one day you can be, you know, as great as me. How do you approach that? You can't say, well, you must not be that great because I feel like shit when I don't sleep that long. You know?
Mm-hmm.
That's a classic cult leader trick. And that's what people do. That's why these groupthink things get so... There's tons of trends right now with ghosts and aliens and stuff like that, where it's just like, I can't talk to you about your belief in that because you make it like a part of your core.
Yeah, I feel like culturally we've kind of just defaulted to letting everyone say what they want to say.
Don't say defaulted. I don't think this is a modern thing. You've only been alive 20-some-odd years. I believe this goes on all the time.
That we just let people ramble and then we just not question it.
Yes. Yes. I don't think this is a new thing. I'm simply talking about it. It doesn't have to be a new thing to still be fucking annoyed by it. You know, hysteria. That's one of the more famous ones that happened thousands of years ago. Doctors would constantly say these women were hysterical. There was no symptoms, but they would prescribe vibrators and all these different things, and people would accept hysteria as a thing, even though women were saying, I'm not fucking hysterical. They would still let it be a disease because they, you know, reasons of the patriarchy and all sorts of other fucked up medical things in this world. Yeah. But they would just let it happen. Showing skin is another one. I think we're going to cover that on the show soon. Women wearing pants, which I talk about all the time. Women were not allowed. That's a recent thing. Women are allowed to wear pants. Mm-hmm. And why did it happen? Because a woman wore a pants. Like, it was that simple of a thing to fix. It was like, what about a woman's in a pants? And the woman's put pants on. And that's what happened. But throughout time, people just say, like, well, of course, a man would never not open a door for a lady, as we talked about before. Who gives a fuck? Open your own fucking door. You know? Like, but because it was so accepted and people let it ramble that they dared not question it. I've never, and I would say this out loud, and you can see this from my interactions on Twitter. I've never not said something that I didn't love if someone questioned. I wouldn't have said it out loud if I didn't want you to question it.
And it's exhausting to see those tweets. It's exhausting.
Which ones?
All of them. If you have, it does seem like that too. Like you're kind of baiting the world to you know, kind of argue with you a little bit. And
I'm not baiting the world. I think that that's interesting conversation. Like saying that I can destroy all robots.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah. Yeah, no, I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid of any robot in my weight class. I would fight any robot in a boxing match. If it has to use gloves and it has to box me, I'm going to win every single fucking time.
I think you're going to get your ass kicked to you.
Name a 200-pound boxing robot. That's not that or less. I weigh less than 200 pounds. I weigh a lot less than 200.
Does it have to be currently in current technology level? Or
show me. Okay, well, first of all, that's the first part here is, yeah, at current technology level, which I think is only what a reasonable person, again, this is like the belief in ghosts, I think, yes, that's, I'm not basing my life on future robots. I think, yeah, like, show me a robot now that weighs less than 200 pounds that could put on boxing gloves and beat me in a scored match. I believe that the robot would break before I would.
You would.
It wouldn't even be a matter of winning the match. The robot would most likely not survive.
Kicking your ass, but yes, I would be. You would probably win.
Yeah, even without the scores, I have a hard time believing a robot boxing me would last more than four rounds without fucking breaking.
They're working on it. I'm working on it.
Why are they not working on it? But see, that's the thing is people go, oh, you have to be afraid of robots. It's a sci-fi thing. There is literally no reason to be afraid of robots. They will never, ever beat me in a fight. If we're the same weight too, I can use a machine? Or if I was 700 pounds, listen, and you put me up against a 700-pound robot.
Can we talk about the latest advancements in technology, or is that too specific?
What robot? What robot? Send me a robot and I will fucking fight it.
There is that robot dog. I mean, the guy's making
that robot dog weighs 300 pounds.
All right, you shave off some pounds.
The big one that delivers stuff? The army uses, you're talking about?
I'm not sure, man.
Those dogs are massive, Deepa. They weigh as much as, like, elks. They're like a 600. If I was 600 pounds, I could fight the fuck out of it.
All right, so.
Or if I had a horse, which I have, as a human, I have the power to command horses. I can just have a horse fucking step on it.
It's kind of mean to the horse, but all right.
No, it's not. The horse loves it. They love clomping on stuff. That's their fucking favorite. It's bullshit. And so that's the thing is, like, I'm willing to have the debate about it, but it's more like people just are accepting about it. Like, I don't care. If you show me a robot that can beat me, whatever. It wasn't like I was priding my... That's it. People have pride. I think that's what it is in the end, what we're talking about here. That's the sin of today.
Mm-hmm.
Is I didn't know this was going to turn into a sermon, but it is. It's pride. It's like, don't be so fucking proud. Like, what does it matter to you that this opinion... Don't you want to do what's best? Don't you just want to hear other things? Like, I don't know. I don't know why you have to be so proud of this thing. Who cares if a robot beats me in a fight? Great. I don't care.
I don't think anyone's... Was anyone arguing with you about the robot thing?
No, everyone agrees that robots are ridiculously okay, so shitty.
We don't have a problem here. We're all
robot, everyone... Well, I think that everyone kind of says this stupid sci-fi thing of like, be wary of robots. Shut the fuck up.
What if robots. I control a giant Rock'em Sock'em robot? And I think
giant, again. Then do I get to control something of equal weight?
Yeah, no, as giant
okay,
as
so
you.
Then I get a tank.
No, as giant as you. It's just because I'm always saying giant.
What do you mean as giant as me? That's the same size as me.
Yeah, same size as you.
I think we have to agree at a certain point that giant cannot be my size.
What if it's a giant toy, giant version of a toy? The toy is tiny originally, but no. We made a giant to fight you.
You and I saw at Dave and Buster's giant Rock'em Sock'em robots. I would win.
That's
guess how I would win?
Yeah.
Going to the side of it. I already have a technique.
All right. Well, I'm going to devote my life to upgrading that to beat you.
I challenge anyone who makes robots to build a robot of my equal weight, and I will fight it in a ring. I will fight it in a scored boxing match. And I assure you, your robot, and it has to be total weight. It has to be total weight, too.
Can we get you in Let's Start a Cult boxing shorts?
I'm not plugged into anything, so that means it can't be plugged into anything. And if it's plugged into a power source, that power source is part of its weight. My power source is all in me. I weigh on any given day, depending on what I'm doing, between 170 and 180 pounds. I will give you 5 pounds on top of that. If you can build, and this is, now we, okay, Muhammad Ali, Mike Fallick, you claim that you on the let's review. Last year at a Subway, you ordered a sandwich with extra pickles, not realizing it would cost you $2.75. Then, a year later, you fight an orange juice machine, which you lose to 22-23 in a unanimous decision for. This orange juice, Minute Maid vending machine,
which are very rare nowadays. Mm-hmm. And now, you claim on my program as Howard Cosell that you will fight a robotic being.
And I will. If anyone can make a robot that is what between 170 and 190 pounds, that is perfectly, it has to be all of its weight, so it can't be plugged in because that weight would include like the whole power plant. I will fight that robot with boxing gloves, with, let's say, amateur weight gloves, 16-ounce gloves, and I guarantee you will not be able to design a robot that can beat me in a boxing match. No less, I probably am going to break it.
I just
at 170 pounds, that's so light for a robot.
I'm just picturing like how you came up with you know, this idea. Like, I could beat the shit up of a robot.
What robot exists? I never see.
I just picture you walking past cars and be like, "They can't beat me up."
Well, it's like even a small moped weighs like 200 pounds or something, right?
Yeah.
So a moped is already a weight class way above what I'm allowing for this. So essentially, it's like those electric bikes. You'd have to work with like two or three electric bike powers, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they still have to punch. Still have to punch me with gloves.
All right, yeah, I can probably beat up a robot.
Everyone can. I'm not even bragging.
Yeah, stop bragging.
Well, it's just like it's a stupid fucking thing people say. But it's not part of my pride if I lose to a robot. Who gives a fuck? I just think you shouldn't put things on Front Street that you have pride in, that you can't defend.
Mm.
You know what I mean? If you don't have such pride in it that you can't, like, that you're fine with all attacking it, all attacks on it, then you shouldn't advertise it. Let it be something in your heart.
Yeah. Own it.
Own it, or just realize that things are not that important. Don't have so much fucking pride. It makes people unapproachable when they're fans of bands, when they believe in ghosts. It's like, what am I supposed to fucking say to you? Like, okay, yeah, it's great. It's the best band. Like, I don't know. Like, I obviously can't say anything.
Just nod and say, me too. That's what I do.
Wait, is that what they're expecting?
A little bit. Like, is that what these people are expecting? Or maybe they find that you like, they discover that you like it too, and then you guys can gel over that. If not.
But they don't. They only want you to like it. Or they will therefore group you as a person that's stupid. They only want you to believe in ghosts.
Who hurt you, Mike?
It was a ghost. It's a ghost. He was a really temperamental ghost. He moved some stuff. This ghost. There's that idea, too, that ghosts move things. Like, do you just never drop things then? Like, is this person outside of this apparent ghost activity? They never just, like, drop their keys or a glass by accident? Like this person is either it's true that, like, maybe there is a force you can create in the universe where if you never just drop shit like I do, that then the universe balances it out and they send straight up ghosts to, like, pick your books up and throw them across the room.
Or ghosts are just, like, infants just running around drawing on my walls and shit.
Right, but that's what I'm saying is that, like, your life would be ruined if you drop stuff as much as I drop stuff. On top of having a ghost, you'd have almost no possessions.
Hilarious.
I am hilarious. And that's going to do it for this week. Deeply, as a side note, I guess we don't talk about beliefs. I've said my beliefs, so I guess I'm forcing you to say one. Do you believe in ghosts?
Only in my weakest moments.
Really? If you're scared, you'll be like, there's ghosts?
Let's say I can imagine myself seeing the ghosts of a loved one, maybe after their recent passing or something. I could see it. I get a little spiritual like that. Light some candles. Sure. Light some candles. Cry about my loss.
Let's go for not necessarily
ghosts.
Well, no, not necessarily something with a connection to you. Let's go for the random ghost. Well, because then you assume, right? Like Uncle Fartface dies.
Mm-hmm.
And you feel his because that was a hard life having a fart for a face. And so you feel after at his funeral, everyone goes,
He was, let's raise a glass. He was one of the stinkiest men I ever saw. And oh, Danny boy, the pipes are calling. Those pipes are filled with farts. Don't breathe in on the bagpipe. Tis farts and farts and something farting.
So to answer your question now. Rest in peace. He was a good man. Most of the time, when you didn't have mushed peas. A little trouble with the hide out there, huh?
So he dies.
I thought we were done there. I guess
so.
We're
he
not.
Dies. He dies, and you're like, you know, I miss Uncle Farfet, and like I can feel his presence here. Fine. Does he then, after you don't miss him anymore, does he then go off to someone's house and rattle chains and move books off shelves and make it slightly colder?
In my opinion, in my humble opinion, no.
No, not that's the type of ghost we're talking about.
Okay.
No, I think everyone, what you're talking about, it's very brave of you to admit. I think everyone sort of, you know, feels that with.
Yeah, I'm probably going to catch some flack for that, but whatever. I'll live with it.
For loving your people in your life that have died? Yeah. People are going to, the internet's going to destroy you. Oh, you loved something? You asshole. You sick son of a bitch to feel love for things that are dead. And that is where we ended. All right, this was great. I gotta go food shopping. Oh shit, I hung up on you. That's not what.
All right.